Amen. I'm glad there are better things ahead.
Amen.
And God knows the need of the hour. Amen. He always knows the need. That's what I like about Jesus. He always knows the need of the hour. Nothing ever gets by him. And so we'll get started here. Should look with me and talk about a few things in the Word of God this morning. But it is a pleasure. Are you glad to be in his house this morning?
Amen.
Amen. And well, Sister Carol will be sorely missed. I tell you, yeah, her presence is with us in the room. And, you know, we were sharing some of the things today. You know, how far is it between life and death? It's really not that far. Matter of fact, David said there is but a step between me and death. And you know, he was talking about some of the things that were pertaining to the endangerment of his life. But at the same time, if you look back to 28th chapter, 1 Samuel, don't do that now. You can do it sometime later. When Paul went to, we're not endorsing witchcraft. We know God hates witchcraft. Matter of fact, if you're wondering where, talking about this, I don't think it's a hair lip anybody if we share this, but you know, we are in the month of October, ain't we?
Oh, yeah.
And you know what's coming around the corner, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, I would to God some of these people read what God said. He said to Moses, I suffer not a witch to live.
Right. Yeah.
So that's where God puts witches. If you had any doubts about that, that's pretty clear. You know, country boy don't even understand that, Brother Larry. And so we're talking about this, the wicked witch of Endor. That was real. We ain't talking about bewitch. You know, I used to get off the bus and run home every evening if we didn't do too much talking on the bus. Now, if we'd done too much talking, she'd just stop the bus. And boy, that was the worst thing she could do. And, you know, some old smart aleck back there would say, hurry up, we're missing the Flintstones. And then she'd wait even longer. But we ain't talking about bewitched on TV when you was a kid. How many of you was a kid in the 70s? You know what that means. But talking about the wicked witch of Endor, whom Saul fled to in the time of trouble. He couldn't get a hold of God. God had done turned a deaf ear to him, and he couldn't hear the Lord. So he went to the witch, and they called up Samuel. She did. And when she saw Samuel, I always picture her looking in her little crystal ball. I don't think she had one, but you know, everybody nowadays got one. So she's looking in her little ball, and boom, there's Samuel. And I think she screamed a little bit, scared her. She hollered. And Saul said, who is it? And she began to describe him. He said, oh, I know who that is. That's Samuel.
Yeah.
And Samuel said, why have you bothered me? Why didn't you leave me alone? And amazing thing, people say, well, you know, we can't communicate. Well, Saul did, and Samuel did, and Samuel had some heavy tidings for Saul. You remember what those were? Tomorrow, you and your boy is going to be with me. And so he wasn't talking about paradise, he was talking about dead. And so here we find it that Saul, as he saw Samuel, they communicated. Well, this is not brand new. We watched Lazarus, God raised him, and all the great things God did. So that spirit world really is not as far apart as we sometimes think it is.
Right. Right.
And so I was sharing with Brother Ike, you know, we've had many families, you have too, I'm sure, older people in your family that lost a loved one, a mate of many, many years, and God did allow them some special times. And you know, wherever that, we don't know about every case, but we know about some cases through the Word where this happens. But times of fellowship. Now, look with me over to Judges 13. We'll share a little bit of something that I think God would say to us this morning. And especially maybe point this toward the young people. Because I think we want to see something today as we look into the life of the Lord Jesus. How that God wakes us up. How many of you remember? Now, you say, well, preacher, I'm not a young person anymore. But if you're under the age of 100, I think you're young. So, now, I really believe this. I'm going to tell you why I believe it. We had a man in our community, and he makes me think of Brother Raymond a lot, and he's 107. He'll be 107 in February. He's got him a brand new truck, got two girlfriends. And so, I'm just saying. I ain't making this up. He was at our little family gathering a while back, and boy, I'm going to tell you, he looks sharp. I mean, really, really sharp and neat and in shape. And some of them guys at church where he attends was picking on him. They said, well, Brother Jack, what you going to do? Spring break, what you going to do? He said, well, I'm going to the beach. And so his daughter lived out at the beach. And They was thinking they was messing with him, and he was messing. But I seen him just Friday, sharp as a tack, looking good, driving all around town, happy as a lark. And so if you're under 100, you're young. Let's go ahead and settle that in. But here is a young man by the name of Samson, looking into the 13th chapter. We'll read a couple verses here. We'll go over to the New Testament. And a woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord, capital S, Spirit of the Lord, began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Well, we know the next three chapters deals with the life of Samson and how God began. But did you see that? God began to move him. And so we watch this, even in the life of those as young people that God chose and put his hand on.
Right.
Now, how many of you remember at some point in time of your adolescence, maybe before puberty or after puberty, God began to speak, and you would wake up one day and ask questions like this: who am I? Where'd I come from? Who is God? What's God all about? And so these are things that began to happen in the lives of young people as God wakes us up. Now, we don't all get saved when we're young, and we know this for a fact. We're not talking about this, but we're talking about the awakening. And you know, the Catholics say that happens at 12, but I don't buy into that. Sometimes it happens before 12. Sometimes it happens after 12. For some people, it never happens. Maybe they have a physical inability, and that never happens for them. And they leave this world like they come. And God always does right by those. I had a lady ask me one time, what happens to a child with mental retardation? God knows how to deal with that. He understands what accountability is and what it's not. And so here, God moved upon Samson, and he moved him. Now, Jesus, let's fast forward to the life of the Lord Jesus. I believe this is where we want to zone in. We can say a couple things about the life of Jesus, even in the earlier chapters where God began to move on young people, like a young lady by the name of Mary. Preached something along this thought for the radio a couple weeks back. And so this is still fresh on my mind today, how God can speak to an older man by the name of Zacharias who has prayed. Watch now, watch where people get. I'm talking about people like you and I. Zacharias and his wife has prayed for a boy. They're praying for a boy, praying for a boy. How many times have they prayed for a boy? And the angel of God shows up one day and meets him in the temple right there. He's doing his duty, what his duty is, kind of routine to him. He's done it a lot. He's got a manner in which he does it. But this day, something special happens. The angel of God shows up and says, Zacharias, God's going to do something special in the life. And he said, your prayers and the prayers of your dear wife Elizabeth has been heard.
Yeah.
And he said, this is what's going to happen. The time of life, she's going to bring forth the son. I understand she's old. I get that. I understand y'all not spraying chickens anymore. But she's going to bring forth the son, and he's going to be special. And Zechariah said, bless God, I know we prayed it. I heard what you said. I heard it loud and clear, but I just don't believe it. Can't believe it. Now, compare. You want to talk about some comparatives in the Word of God? Go forward 6 months. Only 6 months between the birth of the Lord Jesus and the birth of John, right? Six. And so 6 months, fast forward that scene to the scene of a little lady by the name of Mary. And she is a spouse. She's got a ring, maybe, I don't know. She's engaged to Joseph. And so there's no wedding happened yet. She's not known a man. She is as pure as a wind-driven stone. And so here she is, and the same angel, Gabriel by name, there's only three angels by name of the Word of God, right? Gabriel, Michael, and that other bad angel we don't like to talk about, Lucifer. And so it's only three called by name. And here Gabriel has appeared to Zacharias. He can't believe anything. And he has appeared to Mary. And Mary said, I like this, brother. There's something special about this thing God done in Mary's heart. And so here she is. She's not supposed to have a child, brother. She is a virgin. She's never known a man. It would be a reproach to her to have a child. And compare, watch now, Zacharias is praying for a boy and he can't get a hold to it. He's praying. God's did it, but he won't believe it. And here Mary is. She's not supposed to have a son. And the angel of God said it to her. And she said, be it unto me according to thy word. Yeah. A lot of difference in that. Yeah. You know, it really is to believe or not to believe.
Yeah.
And so what happens? Faith is imparted. Now I understand Zacharias, righteous man, the word said he was. But he did not believe. And our unbelief cost us, even as saved people. I'm not doubting the fact that Zacharias was God's man, but his unbelief cost him. And you wonder what it cost him? It cost him 9 glorious months of worship. He couldn't worship. But I'm going to tell you, God fell upon Elizabeth and did what he said he'd do. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. Yeah. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Mary was filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't know where Joseph was. Maybe God filled him too. But Zacharias missed 9 glorious months of worship. He couldn't say a word. No, I don't even think he could moan real good. I believe God had him shut up and he's quiet as a church mouse for 9 months.
Yeah.
And they're worshiping God and celebrating. Fast forward a little bit to the life of the Lord Jesus. Just warming up to you, testifying about some of these things I think God would have us point out.
Yeah.
Watch now in the second chapter. The second chapter, we were talking about these young people. Can I give you a couple of things quick? Have you noticed whom they took Jesus to? Remember the 8th day he was to be circumcised and they brought him into the temple? And there was a man by the name of Simeon. And we know what happened there. He blessed God. And God blessed him. And he told Mary some things. And she pondered them in her heart. Oh, she kept those sayings in her heart. How many times did God say that about Mary? About a half a dozen times. She heard things she couldn't quite understand, but she hid them in her heart.
Amen.
You said, preacher, I can't grab a hold of what God's saying to me at this point in time in my life. Hide it in your heart.
Yes.
Keep it. Cast those things in your heart and keep them there. It's what Mary done. She couldn't get all of what Simeon was telling her. I don't even believe she's getting all that Gabriel was saying to her. But bless God, she believed it. And so what happens? The faith factor has a part in God's blessings operating in our life. Now, if you don't think that's so, we can look back to a lot of Old Testament examples that prove that, but we don't have time for those. Here, Mary believes God, and so here comes Simeon, and Simeon said, Lord, let me depart, let your servant depart in peace. It's happened. I was waiting, I was expecting, and let me depart in peace. And then Anna, oh, that blessed widow of the temple. And so for 88 years, she has been a widow serving God day and night with fastings and prayer. God didn't forget her, this young person, Anna. God did not forget her. And he won't forget us. But go forward. This is where we want to begin reading a little bit in Luke, the second chapter, the 41st verse. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you for the reading of your word.
Yes,
now, Lord, speak it, breathe it. God, impart faith by it as only you can.
Amen.
God, I pray you take a heart, a tender heart today. God, that you would saturate it, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, that you tenderize it and marinate it, God, with your word. Only because a heart that's been affected by the word of God can believe. Lord, it's not belief with the noggin, oh God, but it's belief from the heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessions made to salvation. Now, Father, speak great truths today. God, God, even as you woke us up, I pray you would wake up and resurrect those outside of saving grace. And God, take a special young person today and mark their life great for the kingdom's sake. And use them, Lord. And God, reveal a need. God, the Savior hath need of them. And I pray you'd make it so in every life today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. Amen. Watch now. Here we find it, Mary and Joseph's concern. They had an amber alert out on Jesus. Can you see it? Oh, they didn't know what an amber alert was, but it was an amber alert to them. They have lost Jesus. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot today that has lost Jesus. That's right. They've lost His truth. They've lost His word. They've lost His grace. I didn't say they lost their salvation. I said they've lost that God done, and they need to be restored and brought back. I was sharing this, Brother Patrick and I were talking about the old analogy of the country folks that went to the big city church. And so here they were. They needed to be refined and cultured. Lots of churches today think they need more refining and more culture. They don't need that. They just need an amber alert out on Jesus and find Him and God to restore some things. And so these folks, you know, they went and found out. Some of the deacons went and found out how they needed to be doing it because they weren't doing it just right. And so they watched some of the things, some of the orders of the big city church, and they come back and they didn't have a lot of that refined silverware. And also they got them some little tomato cans and made them some incense pots and they were going to get cultured out in the country church. And so as they come forward, you know, here they are walking slow and mumbling some of the little catechisms and liturgy things, you know, whatever they are. And all of a sudden one of them spoke to the one in front of them as they came forward, and he said, "What?" He didn't want to be loud. He said, "What did you do with the incense pot?" And he said, "I threw it out the window when the bottom got hot." That's what we need to do with a lot of culture. We need to throw it out the window when the bottom gets hot. Well, God, listen, they had an amber alert out on Jesus seeking Him. And so they went to their folks. They went to their kin. They went to those. And here they doubled back. You ever had to double back? I was laughing at some of, I think it was Stephen. I heard Cindy's folks talking about they left him at church one night sleeping under the pew. And they got home and having supper and got to the table. And I reckon they had to do a head count. You know, there's so many of them. And they was missing one. And they had to double back and pick him up. He's still sleeping under the pew when they got there. It might have happened to Brother Ike before. And so, here, watch it now. They're doubling back to find Him. And when they found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard Him were astonished at His understanding and answers. Now, Jesus is how old? He's around the age of 12. And so it was very typical to go to Jerusalem three times a year. This was the Passover. And so here at the age of 12, we don't know what happened at 8, 9, and 10, but we know what happened at around the age of 12. And so Jesus has heard something. God has woke him up. You said, "Preacher, his boyhood wasn't a typical boyhood." Why, what? We don't have no reason not to believe that. We know He's the Son of God. He's 100% God, 100% man. And so it is a typical boyhood. And so at this point in time, God has woke him up. I think Jesus is paying special attention to this whole matter of that Passover lamb. I think that Passover lamb is starting to become very important to him because he is the Passover lamb. And so he's watching this proceeding, and he's probably seeing some things that ought not honoring his father. And so remember, as he's there, I think Jesus stayed behind. I'm just talking me now personally. The Word don't say this. I think he's concerned about some things that's going on. And God has woke him up. God wakes up young people and he uses them. God takes people, and here's a point in time. There's a moment in time when God will wake you up, spiritually speaking, unto His will. And Christ is here. And they came back and they were amazed. Now I'm thinking that Mary, the Word said she's heard some things. I know she's upset, she's troubled, but the Word said when they saw Him, verse 48, and His mother said unto him. But before she said anything, the word said they were amazed. I believe they stood back, and as they saw him up there, kind of like, what are you doing there? And they were listening. They were amazed. Why? Because he's not only asking questions, but he's hearing them and he's teaching them. And then she's reproved him just a little bit. I don't think it was a real sharp reproof. I believe her heart was really upset. Can you imagine losing a child for 3 days? And so I know it's not the same culture we're in today, but it's still 3 days. And so she said, "Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And we've wept lots, Jesus, and we've been looking for you, Jesus." And Christ says something that we need to stop and see. "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye," that word means know, "know ye not that I must be about my father's business?" And so they took these things, and you know, Joseph's probably scratching his head a little bit. Yeah. And he said, "I'm a carpenter." And Mary's probably got some more things she's filing in her heart over here. But they understood not the saying which was said. Now fast forward, let's just scan through a couple of things, because as we go back to the ministry of the Lord Jesus over in the fourth chapter, watch now and notice what happened. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, verse 14, into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Now remember, they had the Amber Alert out. And here we're going to find it that people do one or two things. They either accept Christ or deny Christ. And we find it no prettier place to see it than right here in the fourth chapter. As Jesus said, remember they gave him the book, he opened and he read out of Isaiah 60 or 61, and he took that and he gave it back to the minister, and he sat down, and all their eyes were fastened on him. I mean, they were really checking out Jesus. They didn't know quite what to do with him, and so they're fastened on him. And he said, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in yours." But there's one or two effects that happens when we hear the word of God. This is often true for young people. As we hear the word of God, we'll do something with that we hear. We'll either file it to keep it, or we'll file it to discard it. And so notice now, if you want to see a precious verse where this is true, in 22, all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" But go forward a little bit to the 28th verse. Now this is the same crowd that were amazed in verse 22. In 28, there's a different effect. "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath." Now what happened? It's the same word of God he read. It's the same word they've been reading for years. Nothing changed about the word. But what changed was what they'd done with the word. And those that were astonished at his doctrine here in 22, now they're very angry because Jesus said some things that really clipped them in the heart. People said, "Preacher, he stepped on my toes." Christ's not going for the toes. He always goes for the heart. It's always the heart effect. Have you ever noticed, we're reading through the Kings and Samuel and those things, how every time they took their little sharp dagger and put it somewhere, it was under the fifth rib? It wasn't down low. It wasn't up here normally. And they smote him under the fifth rib because they knew, I don't think they took time to count the ribs, do you? But they knew where the dagger would get the job done. Christ knows where the dagger gets the job done. And he said, "Listen, I've got some things to ask you. I've got two things to ask you." He said, "There were lots of widows in Israel in the days of Elias," verse 25. And he said, "How many of those did God heal?" And the answer was, none. And then watch Elisha go down a little bit. "And in Elisha's day, there were many lepers," verse 27, "in Israel at the time of Elisha the prophet. And how many of them did God cleanse?" Zero. None. What's going on in their heart, Brother Gary? They're staking their claims. They've got a monopoly on God down at the temple.
Yeah.
And Jesus said there's no monopoly on the Holy Ghost. And he said, remember Elisha? The only one got saved there was a widow of Sarepta. Watch now. And here, the only one got healed. We give old Naaman fits because he had a mad kicking cussing spell. But he said the only one God cleansed was Naaman.
Yep.
Don't forget about that. And that's why they're very angry.
Yeah.
Preacher, my folks were saved. That means something for me, doesn't it? No, just means you had saved folks. It's nothing to do with your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. God has to wake you up. It's what Christ is doing. He's waking them up.
Right.
They were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. 29, led him under the brow of the hill whereon the city was built. Watch now, right out the gate. Brother, they've got him ready to cast him down headlong. I always picture this. But if you're going to throw somebody down headlong, there's a couple different ways you can do it. I'm picturing they're thinking to drop him by his feet. But Jesus departed out of their midst. He went his way. But I like this in 31. He came down to Capernaum, the city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath day. You know, our Amber Alert on Jesus is going to reach some kind of conclusion. In the early part of 4, they rejected the word of God they heard. They thought it was a great, eloquent speech. They were amazed and astonished. They still want nothing to do with it. See, it's something about that. The Word of God, the real Word of God, always penetrates the heart, doesn't it? And so they might have liked it in the fact that, oh, here's this young fellow, and he said some amazing things, and all our eyes are fastened on him. But we have took the Word of God and cast it aside. We're not paying any attention to it. And here, show you a different group of people. What are we going to do with the words of the Lord Jesus? He come to Capernaum. At the city of Galilee, taught him on the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And then the synagogue, it was a man with an unclean spirit. We're not going to take time to read all about him, but I'm going to tell you, Jesus hushed him up and helped him and cast the demon out.
Amen.
Go down a little bit, it's where we want to read now. And they were all amazed in 36 and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out of him. And the fame went out into every place of the country round about. Here's where we want to focus a little bit on the next few verses. As Jesus came into the house of Simon Peter's mother, he arose and entered into Simon's house. See, I didn't read where there was a lot of rejection in Capernaum, like there was in the place before where he read in Nazareth. Nazareth was where he was brought up. But Capernaum's a little more receptive to the Word of God. And the Word said, she was taken with a great fever and besought him for, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose. Immediately she got up and ministered unto them. Now, I don't know what kind of ministering that was. It could have been a lot of different things. But I always think about where I come from. The way you ministered to somebody was you got up and fried a chicken.
Yeah.
Y'all ever do that? We had some people from England stopped at our house when I was a teenage boy. They were from, young couple from England had flew over, bought them an old car, and they were touring the United States. And we stayed in touch. They sent us cards, postcards. When they got home, I was out in San Diego, different things they saw. And so, you know why they stayed in touch? Grandma fried them a chicken. I ain't making this up. And so he'd come out, and it was an old summer day, and we were sitting on the porch, and I lived with my grandmother a good bit of all of my teenage life. And so there they were, and you know, it wasn't nothing for folks like her to get up and cook a big dinner, you know, for no apparent reason, out of habit. They raised 7 youngins, so she probably used to cooking every day. And so this particular day, she had some things we was going to eat. But when they come up, she fried a chicken. Now here, Simon Peter's mother, I don't know what she's doing, but I know God's helped her, and she immediately arose, and she ministered to him, so for all I know, she fried him a chicken.
Right.
I can relate to that. Watch what happened. He stood over her, rebuked the fever, and immediately she arose. And now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sickness with divers diseases brought them unto him. Words got out, hadn't it?
Yeah.
And he laid his hands on how many? Every one of them. They've brought every sick person, bless God, they can find in three counties. And Jesus has laid His hands on every one of them. And so watch this. I wouldn't take anything for that. He laid His hands and He healed them. And devils also came out of many crying out and saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And He rebuking them, suffered them not to speak. Can you see it? For they knew that He was the Christ. Every time I heard Jesus say something to a devil, it was, shh, hush, hold your peace. Be quiet, sonny. Don't say nothing. And it's what they done. And so these demons, as they began to come out and come out, and they were glorifying God. Does this not amaze you? We know thee who thou art. You want to watch fallen man. Brother, listen, Jesus is a preacher in Luke 10:19, not me. And He said, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Yes. Jesus said that. And He meant it. And so here, as He was dealing with His disciples over in Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power. And that power was on full display. It was on display in Paul's life in Acts 19. Remember what they said? Remember what the demons said as they came out and they said it to the seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew. They said, Paul, we know. And Jesus, we know. But who are you? And so Barnard preached the message of a man that's known in hell. Paul was known in hell. I would to God we could be known in hell. That we are a holy terror to the devil. And so here Jesus, every time He casts one out, on their way out, He say, hush, get over there and sit down and behave yourself. And so here, He hushed the devils, and the revival's full swing now. I'm telling you, it's going on. Everyone's got healed. There's not a one God's left out. Have you seen the difference in this scene? Brother, those that sought the Lord Jesus in this place of Capernaum are getting help. Those that rebelled against the Lord Jesus didn't get anything from Christ. And so it's got something to do with our expectation. And so we see it. We said something about it. In Acts chapter 3, what happened with the man that was lame? As Philip and John, Peter and John come by, he was expecting to receive something from them. Well, he didn't know what he's getting, but he's still expecting. And every time we come expecting, Brother Raymond, we receive. And when we come not expecting, well, we normally don't get anything. And here, those demons were cast out. Peter's mama is still doing a hallelujah dance. Her fever broke. She arose. And here we find that she's ministering. And Jesus is preaching. And the sun was setting. Look at that 40th verse. Old sun's going down. And all they that had sick, they bringing them. They ain't got these good little LED lights. They can clamp on their forehead. And those big, somebody gave me one of my lights. Well, I've forgotten now the name of it. But those really nice lights, mag lights. Those big LED mag lights you can shine deer with. I didn't say I shine deer with them. I said you can shine deer with them. Those, they didn't have none of those. They come with a little coal arm lanterns and they trying to get their sick folks. Did preach something about this for the radio a little while back, a couple weeks ago. Those men, I'm still amazed about the 5th chapter of the book of Luke, the 17th verse, where they took the tiles off the house and they began to tear off the shingles. And Jesus is in the house and the crowd has thronged Him. It's over the next chapter if you want to look at it after lunch. And so here, they taking off the shingles and somebody's knocking home sheetrock. I'm just picturing Jesus sitting there and He's about ready to heal some more people and those little doodads and little popcorns is falling off the shingles and He's looking up and all of a sudden here comes a bed with a sick man in it and they got Him to Christ. And when they got Him to Christ, Christ touched him and so and so today, church. Every time we bring a sinner to Christ, He will touch him. He'll touch him. And so He healed him and he got up and went out, and he took his bed with him. And there's some more Pharisees over there watching. You got to see the scene. And it's amazing. Jesus said something about this, and I bet he thought about this passage that we're alluding to now. We're not preaching, we're just talking about it a little bit, because I believe Jesus, remember, when he said, you are those that stand in the door. and you won't go in yourselves, and you hinder those that would. You think he was thinking about the sick man that had to let down through the roof? Jesus was talking about real life experience. The crowd thronged him in the house. They couldn't get the man to him, but bless God, they found a way. And so here's the motto of the story. When we find a way to get sinners to Christ, God will do something. And I like this. I'm going to say something about this for the radio. The Word said he perceived their faith, not the man on the bed. The four men there being plural. And I didn't get much out of McKenzie High School class of 86. But as somebody left it in my heart that if there is a there, that's plural. And Jesus perceived their faith. And I'm talking about the four. Those four that toted him. And where did they get those things that they used? Bless God. It is on their heart. Now if that would have been a modern day people, they would have said, well, we ain't got no help. And we can't. It's where our desire is, and they got him to Christ. Back to the fourth chapter. Watch now. It was day. When it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. But we'll skip something there. The devils came out of him, and he suffered them not to speak. And he said, hush, verse 41. And when it was day, he departed into a desert place, and the people sought him.
Yeah.
They sought him. Those that seek him and came unto him and stayed him.
Yeah.
What's that mean? Bless God, they ain't going to let him leave. Joab hanging on to the horns of the altar. Now that gets talked about a lot, but Joab's case was a different case. And his case was a matter of life and death. And for a lost person, their case is a life, matter of life and death. And so Joab's hanging on to the horns of the altar. He's begging for mercy. And of course, you know, there's a different thing going on in his life. But here we're talking about those that besought Christ and they stayed Christ that he should not depart from them. They didn't want to lose Jesus.
Right.
They wanted to stay with him.
Amen.
And he said, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent.
Yes.
So what happened? The sun was setting. All they that had divers diseases, he laid his hands on every one of them. Fast forward a little bit. I want to say something about this. We'll close in John, the second chapter. You know, where do we take it all and file it all and put it all? What about Mary? Mary reproved the Lord a little bit, but everything Jesus said, she pondered in her heart. We would be wise to do the same. You know, I don't know how much difference there was in Mary's life and Jesus' life. You'd think being a young woman, there wasn't very much, would you? 15, possibly, you know, back in the day, got an early start. And so my granddaddy had 5 young'uns at the age of, he married when he's 15. He had 7 young'uns by the time he's 22. That's starting pretty quick, ain't it? And so, that's all I'm going to say about that. And so that was starting early. But here, how old was Mary? 15, 20, we don't know. So there's not a lot of difference in Jesus' age. And John 2, they say, was the first miracle. But I just want to see a couple points right here. And we'll let you go find a chicken. In verse 1, the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called. Boy, I like this. I'm seeing something in here I believe God wants to say something about.
Yeah.
Jesus was called.
Yeah.
See, I think there's a disconnect in those that call upon the Lord. Remember this place in the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis when God said this, and then men began to call upon the Lord.
Yeah.
See, ain't something about that. And brother, here is the Spirit of God. Remember what we read earlier in Judges where God's waking up Samson and God's began to move Samson. And I know we got a lot of storylines we could preach about Samson, but God's moving him, brother. And he's God's man, and he's still in God's faith hall of fame in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And we can say whatever we want to about his life. You can't take him out of that faith hall of fame. He's right there. God said he's there. And so God's moving him at times. God's moving him. And you know, I think when we get sensitive to the Lord Jesus, God will move us. And when God impresses us, what should we do? Do what he says. Go, speak, say it, tell it, declare it. Love people, care for people, reach out to people, minister to people in whatever way that is. And see this, both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Now I got a little note there, and the note is why? Why did they call? Well, I can understand, you know, maybe the rumor mills got out on Jesus, and for whatever reason they want him there. And when they wanted wine, I hope that wasn't it. I hope you don't just call on Jesus when the booze runs out. I hope you don't just call on Jesus when the carton gets low. No, here the word said they wanted wine, and the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Now we know that was a whole different need today. We're not talking about a bunch of winos and boozers and things like that. You know, we understand they were some real water problems, and some of you might say, preacher, I got water problems, but you ain't got the water problems they got. They had some real water problems, Brother Donnie. And so here they're out of wine. And Jesus told, I like this, she came to him and said, they have no wine. And Jesus said, woman, what have I to do with thee? Now, I don't think he said that disrespectful to you. He was always subject to his parents. But I think this was one of those little subtle moments when Jesus probably leaned against her a little bit and whispered in her ear, woman, what have I got to do with this wine problem? What do I have to do with thee? I don't know. Just imagining what might have happened. Jesus wouldn't ever embarrass his mother. But he said, what have I have to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Mary knows this is a special application of the life of the Lord Jesus. She understands this. She understands revivals has happened. She's watched the dead raise. She's watched those given back. She's watched this funeral interruption when Jesus stopped. And he said, young man, arise. And he hopped up off the cart and went back to his mama.
Yeah. Amen.
She's witnessed all that. She's not new to this game. And she said, Jesus, they out of wine. And he said, woman, what do I have to do with you? Mine hour is not yet come. It's not time. Mine hour's not here. And she saith unto the servants. Now you want to see faith?
Yeah.
It's what we're preaching.
Yeah.
She didn't say another word to Jesus. She said something to the servants. And her word to the servants was this. She knew something. She saw something in his eyes. She's raised him from a little boy. She's watched the glory of God. I would to heaven that we were that intimate with the Lord Jesus. That when he whispered something in our ear, we'd hear it. When God says do it, we'd do it. When God says go, we'd go. Speak, we'd speak. And she's seen something in the eyes of her boy. That darling boy, that's marked special for God. And she said to the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it, whatever it is. I don't care what it is. Now picture this scene. You want to talk about faith. See, when we get faith like that, did she ever appeal to Christ again? No. She didn't go back to him and say, please, Jesus, please, Jesus, please, Jesus, please. You know, I was thinking about this, how honestly today, you know, when we were youngins, we would say something, and I'm glad God always says what he means. It means what he says. And we were like that. It'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yes.
But you know what we do when we was youngins? We'd promise something. We said, have my fingers crossed. You know, I didn't say this. You know, I was thinking about this, some things God never has to do. God never has to say, I didn't mean that, does he? God never has to say, I didn't mean it that way. God never has to say, I had my fingers crossed. God never has to. His word is right. His word is real. His word is so. He never has to crawfish or go back. And so here, she said, whatsoever he says, do it. Just do it. You know, Nike made a commercial about that. Y'all thought that was great. Just do it. I believe Nike got that right there from the mother of the Lord Jesus. What she said, it really borrows plagiarism.
Yeah, there you go.
Barring the words of the Lord Jesus. She said, whatsoever he says unto you, do it. Whatever he says. And see, we're talking about faith now, and I ain't caring about that wedding. You know, that's all water under the bridge and whatever happened there. So that's a great story, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about faith. And I would to God you'd get this, faith like that. And I'm going to show you how. How is that faith? Well, when Gabriel come by and said, you're going to have a boy, and the Holy Ghost is going to come upon thee, and the power of the highest is going to overshadow thee, and the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God, she said, be it unto me. Why did Jesus honor that request of his mother? I believe personally it's because of what happened in Luke chapter 1 when God said something to Mary and she said, okay, Lord, I'm with you. It's faith. When he said something that seemed impossible, that a young maiden who's never known a man, that a young girl who's espoused to her husband, that wants to privily put her away, but God stopped that in his tracks. I believe God is so blessed by the faith of Mary that Mary looked in the eyes of the Lord Jesus and she said, whatever he says, you do it.
Yes.
It's faith. Right. You know why I believe Jesus blessed those at the marriage of Cana? Because of the faith of his mama. Faith moved him. Her faith. You know, God moves us at times. God moves us. God moves upon us as he wills. But I say we can move God with our faith.
Amen.
Faith moves him. Faith always moves him. And as she looked in the eyes of the Lord Jesus, she saw something there that caused her to point to them. Those in the house of Peter's mother, as we stand together, as we stand, let's stand. Maybe Sis can come to the piano. Those that were there in the house of Peter's mother saw something that created faith, and faith moved them. God will move you today by faith. He wants to move you. He longs to move you. His only desire is to work in your heart by faith.